This episode is brought to you by Recall Buzz, powered by VinSmart. Learn more about how we can help you with fleet recall management and maintenance updates, as well as capture vehicle history and VIN data. Give VinSmart a call at 1-888-950-9550 or visit us on the web at vinsmart.com/4businesses. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Well, hi, everyone. Welcome back to the AnvaCast. This week, we have a return guest. I'm excited to welcome back to the conversation Robert Ritter with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, commonly referred to as NHTSA. Rob, welcome back to the AnvaCast. This time, we're going to talk to you about another topic around safe driving, because here we are, the first Monday in April, and April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month.
Thanks, Ian. It is great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. And as you said, your timing is terrific. This is Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and we at NHTSA have started our awareness campaign. And hopefully folks will start hearing some of our messages about the importance of and the risks of distracted driving.
So let's start with that term, distracted driving. We all know a gazillion things, which is a scientific term, gazillion, can qualify as being distracted. In terms of the way NHTSA looks at the topic and related to the awareness month, how would you and how are you defining distracted driving?
I'm going to go with gazillion. That works.
Okay. I like it.
So no, because distracted driving is really any activity that diverts your attention from driving. So that could be talking or texting on your phone, but it could also be eating or drinking or talking to people in the vehicle, playing with your stereo, or do we still call it that, with the radio, any of the other entertainment or navigation systems that a driver may need to manipulate. All of those things can be distracting. Anything that takes your attention away from the task of safe driving. But really, cell phone use and texting are the ones we hear about the most. Texting is probably the most alarming distraction. Mm-hmm. Because sending or reading a text can take your eye off the road for as much as 5 seconds. And at 55 miles an hour, that's like driving the length of an entire football field with your eyes closed. Cell phones are everywhere. So we all need to be particularly careful about putting those away and focusing on safe driving.
And what about the crash data? Does that support that issue of distracted driving? Even though it's many issues, again, it comes back to that cell phone use.
So the crash data tells us certainly about cell phone use, absolutely. We have a lot of data that indicates how much cell phone use or device use there is. Here at NHTSA, we maintain the Fatality Analysis Reporting System, or FARS, and that is a census of all of the fatal crashes in the United States. And our data indicates that in 2019, about 10% of fatalities were associated with distracted driving. But honestly, we know that some of that is underreported. We get our data from police crash reports, and those police crash reports don't have a consistent way of indicating distracted driving or distraction as an element of the crash. So we believe that the data, the numbers that we have on fatalities for distracted driving is probably underreported. But we also have survey data. So NHTSA conducts the National Occupant Protection Use Survey, or what we call NOPUS. Mm-hmm. And NOPUS is an indication of not only seatbelt use, but also use of electronic devices or some type of phone. And we're finding that, again, about 10% of drivers were using some type of phone, either handheld or hands-free, at a typical daylight moment in 2018 when we have our most recent data. I'll also say that our partners and other organizations have done distracted driving attitude and behavior studies. So we have behavior studies showing up to 40% of drivers report answering their cell phones when driving at least some of the time. That's from our 2019 behavioral study. And half of those say that they complete the call when they take it. Nearly 6 in 10 said they used apps while driving. And didn't think that using those apps would have a negative influence on their driving. AAA has done studies. They have a safety culture index. While majority of drivers view typing, reading, talking on a handheld cell phone is being dangerous. Many of them still admit that they are doing that. Yeah. And so it's definitely a big problem, and one that we are trying to raise awareness of and need to get people to focus on the safe driving task.
It seems like a lot of people might answer that question in the idea that I know it's dangerous. It's especially dangerous when someone else is doing it because they're not as good at it as I am. I know I could do it. I can juggle these things. It's the other driver I'm worried about.
Yeah, I think that is the attitude that many people have. That's not the right attitude. I mean, we all think we're, you know, we all think, I guess, we're better than average drivers, but
that's right.
You know, that isn't the way it goes. I will also say that, especially with cell phone data, there's a lot of what we refer to as telematics data. So the companies that monitor cell phone use are all showing significant use of cell phones and the impact that it has on driving behavior, increasing in hard braking and speeding and evasive maneuvers, and seeing a lot of increase in those activities and the use of phones while driving over the course of the last year. And so during this pandemic year, when overall driving has been down significantly, we're seeing that fatalities have not dropped. In fact, fatalities are mm-hmm. up. And that is, NHTSA has been able to track a number of risky behaviors with the data that we have, from not wearing your seatbelt to speeding to driving impaired. We don't have the data from 2020 on distracted, but I have seen other people and other companies who have put out their data on 2020 distracted driving, showing that that also has increased in 2020 and is likely leading to the increase in fatalities that we've seen.
And so I want to go back to something you said with the data about receiving the call and taking the call. Do you see any differentiation with attitudes and behavior as it relates to understanding texting with, like you said, I take my eyes off the road, versus having the phone call where I could still see the road?
Right. So there really are sort of three kinds of distraction. There's a visual distraction, a manual distraction, and cognitive distraction. If you think about it, it's kind of your eyes, your hands, and your brain. Mm-hmm. And so different kinds of activity with the cell phone or different kinds of activity in the car could invoke any one of or all three of those distracting actions. All of them are dangerous. And the studies show us that any one of those, visual, manual, or cognitive, all have risk and risk to the driving task. And so even a hands-free call, while it might not take your eyes off the road, and in some cases might not even take your hands off the wheel, it is taking your cognitive activity, your brain, off of the focus on the driving task. And that has shown to be risky. And so even handheld calling is still a dangerous activity. And we would really like people not to do that. You need to be focused on driving and on that driving task at all times.
One of the great examples of cognitive distraction I remember hearing is the example of, even if you're doing a hands-free call, you have that conversation. And when you finish the conversation, you're at a new place in the road and you sort of don't remember having traveled that distance because you were focused on the phone call and not focused on driving. And you got there safely in the sense you weren't involved in the crash, but it's a good example of how your brain compartmentalizes what it's focused on.
Exactly. Yeah. And we all hear about multitasking and we all think that we can multitask, but the science is really indicating that we're not doing two tasks at the same time. We're really switching back and forth between the tasks, sometimes very, very, very quickly. But anytime you're taking, you know, your brain and your focus off of driving, there's risk. And risk to yourself, risk to your passengers, risk to other vehicles, and risk to other road users, to the pedestrians and bicyclists who are out on the roadway as well.
So, Rob, you're talking about human behavior, choosing to answer the phone, choosing to not text, choosing to not be distracted. Some of these behaviors have clearly been made illegal in different places that have passed different distracted driving laws. But some of them, though, such as a hands-free call, is not illegal in many places. So how much of a challenge, if any, is it when you talk about changing behavior that may or may not match what a jurisdiction says is or is not against the law?
Sure. So, you know, we definitely are working to change people's behavior and have them drive safely and focus on the road at all times. But one of the things we know from experience at NHTSA is that a really effective way to change behavior are strong laws and then enforcement of those laws. And as you said, Ian, it's not consistent all across the country. 48 states, DC, Puerto Rico, and Guam and the Virgin Islands all ban text messaging for all drivers. Handheld cell phone use is banned in 25 states, DC, Puerto Rico, Guam, and the US Virgin Islands. But it's not the same everywhere. And law enforcement knows, the laws that are in a particular jurisdiction, and they're out trying to protect the community, keep everyone safe, and prevent people from unsafe activities, but the unsafe activities that are prohibited in their state or their local area. We started by talking about this being Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and our law enforcement partners are out at the beginning of this month with our messaging from NHTSA that's going out, and law enforcement is out in a particular looking at enforcing distracted driving laws where they exist all around the country, and we'll be out this week in a particularly engaged and stronger way than they normally are.
So what does that mean? Say more about that. When you say law enforcement is out in a stronger, more engaged way, what might people see that's going to be different because it's the awareness month?
So for particularly at the beginning of the awareness month, what we're doing is what we call a high visibility enforcement campaign, where we at NHTSA are providing that communication messaging out across the country on the risks of distracted driving, and law enforcement partners have committed to providing either extra patrols or particularly an extra focus on looking for and identifying distracted drivers. Folks might see their local law enforcement agencies who are out doing particularly distracted driving enforcement in addition to kind of the regular patrols.
So that's really interesting that you mentioned that they may see more officers on the road, more directly engaged. What have we learned about all those laws? When you ticked off that, you know, all the jurisdictions that have texting bans, some have handheld, some don't. Have these laws been effective? Are they enforceable? It's now been, you know, clearly more than a decade where everyone has these little computers in their pocket. By now, we must be getting some lessons back about, you know, the applicability and the success of having those types of laws.
That's a great question. And actually, it's a question that we and our partners at the Governor's Highway Safety Association have been wondering about for a while. And so we, NHTSA and GHSA, have a cooperative and collaborative research program we call the Behavioral Traffic Safety Cooperative Research Program. And that program recently released a report on using electronic devices while driving, legislation and enforcement implications, really looking at that exact question. The purpose of the report was to evaluate the benefits and impediments associated with enacting these laws, enforcing these laws, adjudicating these laws, and gave us some lessons learned, and the report includes some model legislation and education materials that can help everyone try to understand what makes some of the stronger laws that are easier to enforce. And in cases, when we're talking about laws, some of the enforceability of the law is really important in order to get that behavioral change. So the elements that are identified in that report about what constitutes a strong law includes a primary law. In some states, it's a primary offense where law enforcement can stop a driver who they identify as using the cell phones or texting, depending on what the law is. In some cases, it's a secondary law.
Can you explain what that means? Not everybody listening may appreciate that nuance. So can you just quickly give that little more explanation of what it means when something's the primary law versus a secondary law?
Sure. So law enforcement officers are out protecting the communities and looking for unsafe driving behaviors. They don't pull people over randomly. They can only stop a vehicle or stop a driver if they know that there's or identify an offense or dangerous driving behavior. Mm-hmm. In primary law states, they can stop someone who the law enforcement officer sees as violating that electronic device use law, mm-hmm. whether it's a texting law or a handheld law, for example. In a secondary state, in a state where that law is a secondary offense, the driver can be cited for having violated the law, but it can't be the reason for the stop in the first place. And so the law enforcement officer might see some other violation, some other dangerous behavior, and then cite the driver for the distracted driving offense.
In addition to
whatever it might have been that was the primary indication or primary reason for making that stop.
So I stopped you there when you were going through some of the high-level lessons learned out of the report. So let me let you get back to that.
Sure. So primary versus the secondary laws we talked about, covering which behaviors are identified in terms of whether or not you're reading off of the cell phone, for example, or touching the cell phone. Mm. Some laws in some states cover all drivers. Some laws focus only on young drivers, novice drivers who are just learning. Some focus on school bus drivers, for example. And so the stronger laws are the ones that cover all the drivers.
All drivers, sure.
Some of the laws are applicable or enforceable while the vehicle is in motion. Some while include while the vehicle is stopped, for example, at a red light. And so enforceable at all times is much easier. If enforceable for all reasons, some laws provide an exception for, say, dialing the phone and then using it hands-free is allowed, but dialing it is also allowed. Well, it's really difficult for an officer to determine if you were dialing the phone or writing a text. And so that makes it more difficult. And then, there are penalties associated with each of these infractions. And those penalties are, again, important to be applied if we're going to change behavior. Mm-hmm. And the laws are stronger and more effective if there's sort of an incremental increase in those penalties associated with repeat offenses after the first offense is somebody who continues to offend.
Right. And we know from just a long history of traffic safety, your first offense is not your first offense. It's the first time you've been caught.
That's likely the case. Yes. it's hard to get some of that data, but yeah, we do know as much as you may not want to get caught.
Right.
When you are caught, it's probably not the first time, like you said, with other traffic safety and infractions as well.
Right. So it's funny, you talk about, some of the laws that have the challenge of dialing, not dialing, texting. How does that play the reality that so many of us are using our devices for the GPS function while driving and for navigation? Does that complicate any of this conversation of that reality?
It does complicate a little bit, and there's so much in the vehicle in addition to to navigation. Look, we've always had the radio, and people have been changing radio stations or thinking, singing along to the radio stations, and since the beginning of vehicles, right? So it complicates it. But I think the fundamental issue is particularly with cell phones in the car, particularly with texting and talking phone conversations. Those are taking your eyes, your hands, or your brain off of the driving task for a much longer period of time than mm-hmm. necessarily with navigation. We all use the navigation feature. I use the navigation feature. Set your phone up, set it all up before you get started. Mm-hmm. So you get in your car, you buckle your seatbelt, you put your phone in the holder, turn mm-hmm. on the navigation, and let it operate while you drive and focus on the driving task. Mm. You shouldn't be manipulating that and making changes to your navigation system while you're driving. Pull over to the side of the road whenever you need to do that. Stop in a safe place, complete that action and that activity, and then start your trip again when you're able to focus on the driving task.
And it's funny you say, and this is a complete tangent because it's a podcast, I could go on a tangent. put your phone in the holder. I was just thinking the other day, I wonder when more manufacturers, if any of them have done it yet, build the holder, a docking station, into the vehicle, as opposed to now what we all do, which is, buy the accessory for the dock for to hold the phone, when it might become a little more of a built-in feature that cars will offer.
I don't know. I don't know what the manufacturers are going to do. They obviously want to support what customers want, but they are focused on safety and want to find ways to help make sure that people can operate those vehicles in a safe manner. Yeah. I said put the phone in the holder. Honestly, the best thing to do would be to put the phone in the glove box. Just put it away so you don't get distracted by an incoming call or an incoming text. But I recognize people need to use the navigation systems. If you don't have one integrated into the vehicle, and you're going to use the one that you bring with you on your phone, but set it aside and put it in a place where you don't have to use it, and it can't distract you from the driving activity.
And the truth is, other than the fact that now nobody knows how to get anywhere because we're always using GPS, for when you really don't know how to get anywhere, the phone is a huge improvement over fooling around with a map while driving.
Sure.
Like we used to do.
Right. I mean, that gets back to, distracted driving isn't new. Just the opportunities for distraction and how easy it is to get distracted and how easy to use the phone, I think, and ubiquitous that is new. And again, people using the phones for phone calls and texting and other apps, all of that provides a lot of desire for people to interact with their phone instead of focusing on driving.
Sure. And like you said, it's been around a long time, going back from changing the radio station. You also said singing along. I hope you're not telling me that my singing, it's one of the few places I could sing as loud as I can without anyone complaining. How does that rate on this level of distraction?
I would put it low on the list, honestly. Yeah. And I think you, maybe not your passengers listening to you, but you're safe. Now, singing along, just keep in mind that, you're there to operate the vehicle safely.
Yeah.
And one of the other differences is that while you're doing that, you are looking at the road, and you can stop and really put 100% of your focus where it needs to be when it needs to be.
Sure.
And when you're talking on the phone, people ask a lot of times, what's the difference between listening to the radio and having a hands-free phone conversation? And the interaction and the brain concentration is different. Mm-hmm. And so even when you're talking to a passenger in the vehicle,
yes,
they can also kind of look at the environment, the driving environment, and recognize when you need to focus more on the road and can scale that conversation or that they're having with you in a way that doesn't happen on a hands-free call.
Because in a way they're participating in the driving function as well as having the conversation, as opposed to the person who is on the other end of the phone.
Right. They have the person on the other end of the phone really has no opportunity to do that.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about the phone, and understandably so, because of all the reasons of its presence and the extra distraction it causes. But as you said, there are all types of distraction, whether it's eating in the car, which we see, plenty. And I know it's hard to find anyone who's not been guilty of that. And then you hear some of the crazier stories or not crazy. I mean, I think we've all pulled up alongside somebody at a stoplight who might be putting on makeup, seeing men shave their faces, all sorts of things that are happening. And how much of that is something NHTSA feels, needs to be tackled versus that is kind of on the edges of the distraction battle?
Look, I can't say it often enough. You need to focus on the driving task. We're driving. It's a dangerous activity, and I don't think we all really put at the forefront of our brains how dangerous an activity driving really is. All of these things that take your eyes, your hands, your brain off the road and off the focus that it needs to be, it is dangerous and risky. what is most prevalent is using the cell phones because of all the reasons that we've talked about. And so we really want to make sure people understand that message and understand that it's not safe to be using your phone, but you have to be really careful with any of these other activities. And if it's something, one of those crazy things where, you know, you're steering with your knees while you're holding your drink in your hand, please don't do that. That is not safe. Yeah. None of that is an activity we want anyone doing. But I think in some ways people sort of may recognize more so that is a risky behavior. And in some ways, I think because we talk on the cell phones and it's such a part of our lives, we don't necessarily recognize the risk that we take when mm-hmm. we're using the cell phones while driving. And so that's a definite part of our message and a focus of the message because it is so ubiquitous.
Yeah. Well, Rob, thanks for spending some time with us. Is there anything else about distracted driving or the Awareness Month that you want to make sure our listeners know about that we haven't had the opportunity to touch on?
Well, I would just encourage particularly the AmvaCast listeners to think about sharing this message with your employees or with your employer to share with all the employees, with your kids, with your teenagers. Distracted driving is a much riskier and more problematic issue for teen drivers as well. NHTSA has a lot of material as part of our Distracted Driving Awareness Month activities available at trafficsafetymarketing.gov. So if you go to our website, you can download a lot of different information that you can use to help spread the word, help share the message in schools with your employees and with your friends and family. So I encourage you to take a look for some of our resources there.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Rob. I always appreciate your time, your insight, and all the work that you and the traffic safety professionals and NHTSA are doing to make our roads safer and to save lives.
Thanks, Ian. It was a pleasure being here, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and the whole AMVA family.
Well, and thank you all for listening. And if you are listening while in your car because you've got your phone connected through Bluetooth, that's awesome. Just don't go and grab it and find another podcast until you can safely pull over to a full stop, put that car in park, and do what you need to do. And what you would need to do then, of course, would be listen to the other episodes of AmvaCast that you haven't listened to yet. So in all seriousness, thanks you all for listening. Thanks again to Rob. Thanks to our producer, Claire Jeffrey. And we'll see you next time on the AmvaCast. Stay well, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for AmvaCast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur.
This episode was brought to you by Recall Buzz, powered by VinSmart.
Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.